hear a word from heaven, Lord. Anoint and bless these lips, Lord. Help me, Father. Strengthen me for this purpose, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Psalm 103, 1 and 2. Count your blessings. Turn to your neighbor and say, count your blessings and you'll get rich quick. If you don't think you're rich this morning, I have the perfect scheme. Count your blessings. Get rich quick. Count your blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Say it together. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul speaking here, he says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is a discipline. This is not something that comes easy. Amen? How many of you know that you have to deliberately, intentionally decide to practice the Christian life? It's not something that we can do on our own without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, and without yielding our will to God. For many reasons, the Thanksgiving season is a perfect season for Christians. It's not as commercial as the other seasons, right? I mean, they're already advertising Christmas goods in the stores. And they even, in a sense, have kind of like just passed right over Thanksgiving. But what I love about Thanksgiving is it's unspoiled. It's still a time for families. It's a time to gather around a meal and community, to break bread together, to just say a heartfelt thank you to God, to pause and to reflect upon his goodness. Amen. How about you this morning? How many of you are thankful to God? I'm going to just do a quick survey. Just want you to call out something you're thankful for this morning, all right, wherever you are. She's thankful for life. Amen. She had a close call. Somebody else. Yes, Matthew. To be here. All right. Yes, Steve. Yes, she also had a car accident, and she's okay. She's here. Somebody else. What are you thankful for this morning? Yes, Nilda. Yes, amen, for her church family and her natural family, all right? Yes, Olive. Amen. He got you on your way. Amen. Yes, sir, brother.
Salvation.
Somebody else. Olive. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Yes, brother. Brother Stokely. Thank God for life. He had a few close calls. God took him out. Yes, Sister Margaret. Life, health, and strength. I think you got the idea. Come on. Give him another praise. Give him another praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We, of all people, should be a thankful people. You know, when we had our prayer meeting this past Wednesday night, and I want to just say something about our prayer meeting on Wednesdays. It's an honor to be here. I know sometimes, you know, it's a sacrifice, and we realize that we have to make an effort to be here. But I want to tell you, when you come and pray on Wednesday, you never leave the same. Those of you who come, you'll know that you are walking out a different person. You're walking out with a different attitude, because we've been spending time in the presence of the Lord. But Sister Nikki prayed on Wednesday night and said something that really struck my attention, caught my attention. She says, we have to be thankful in spite of our issues. It's easy to be thankful when everything's going good. It's easy to be thankful when your health is fine, kids are okay, you got a nice house, you got your cars running, and all the bills are paid, and all of these things. It doesn't take much effort then, right? But when we have to persevere in Thanksgiving in spite of our trials, in spite of the setbacks, in spite of the disappointments, in spite of the fact that not every prayer is answered the way we want it to be answered, right? And it takes time. God's ways are not our ways. We don't understand. I mean, I had some issues this past week I was talking to God about. And say, God, I don't understand this thing, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise you anyway, because thankfulness is a way to preserve and protect your joy. The enemy is after your joy. If he can make you a joyless Christian, a discouraged Christian, a defeated Christian, he's got you where he wants you. But if you can keep on praising the Lord in spite of your situation, the devil moves out of the way. He steps back. He steps back when you praise him. He steps back when you say, in spite of this, I'm going to bless the Lord. Job, who went through the most horrendous trial any of us could ever imagine, said, the Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. Wow. What an example. We have to thank God because in our trials, in our setbacks, and things we don't understand, we can build our faith. Our faith is built as we cultivate a grateful heart. And we let the devil be on notice that no matter what, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to serve God. Now, this doesn't come from a sense of showing off. I want to make sure I'm making clear about this. This is a humble attitude. It's not like I'm going to show off like I'm the toughest guy and I'm going to show you, devil, you know, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to do this. No, the Bible says humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and then resist the devil. So it's when we are humble before God that we have the most power. In our weakness, Paul said, in my weakness, God's strength shows up. So I want to make sure that we understand this is not human bravado. This is not us showing off like I've got this. I don't worry. You know, no, I walk broken and humble before God. And in that weakness, in that brokenness, in that waiting on God, great power shows up. Hallelujah. God strengthens me. God renews my strength. Hallelujah. That I can mount up like an eagle. I can mount up with wings like an eagle. I can walk and not be weary. I can run and not faint. Hallelujah. Another thing that's so important is that we understand that it's sometimes in the hardest times that make us more or less self-centered. We become less self-centered when we go through stuff. Isn't that true? You know, we appreciate the little things. We appreciate life. You know, the first Thanksgiving in Plymouth Colony when the Pilgrims landed here in 1620 was not because everything was going great. In the first year, out of the 102 original passengers on the Mayflower, only 44 people lived, survived. The rest of them died through disease, scurvy, malnutrition within the first year. And so they were dependent on God and on their prayers for God's providence to help them. If the Lord had not worked on their behalf, none of them would have made it. And maybe the face of our country would have been different. But after 1 year, in the spring of 1621, after a bitter cold winter, they were strengthened by the help of all people of the local natives. The local Indians of the Patuxet tribe taught the pilgrims how to cultivate corn, how to extract sap from the maple trees, how to catch fish in the rivers, and how to avoid eating poisonous plants. Some pretty good advice, amen? And it was after that, this relationship between these pilgrims and the Native Americans, that the first celebration of Thanksgiving happened in November of 1621. And it was a humble acknowledgement of the protection and providence of God. Hallelujah. Later on, our country began to acknowledge a national holiday for Thanksgiving. The first one was in 1869, I believe it was. 1769, when our first president, George Washington, made a proclamation of thanks. And we're going to read that. Brother Lanre is going to come up and read the very first proclamation that was made in our country of thanksgiving to God. Amen.
These are excerpts from the first National Proclamation of Thanksgiving, October 3rd, 1789. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted to the people of these states, to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. signed President George Washington.
Amen. Thank you, Lanre. I read like a true attorney. Very well read. Amen. So even in our country, in the beginning of our country, acknowledgement of God was present. This is a lot different now. A couple of hundred years later, we're not so quick to acknowledge God. We're not so, as a matter of fact, we want to shut God out of public life now, unfortunately. But you can see right from the beginning, our dependence on God was acknowledged. And if the secular people, the people who are not necessarily Christians, acknowledge this, how much more we as Christians should acknowledge the goodness of God, even in spite of our difficulties. Paul testifies about the Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians 8. He says, my friends, speaking in testimony of this wonderful group of generous Christians, he says, we want you to know that the churches in Macedonia have shown others how kind God is. Although they were going through hard times and very poor, they were glad to give generously. What an amazing testimony, the Macedonian Christians. You know, the question my wife and I were discussing this week was, will it take a time in our country of great trouble to really change our attitude about Thanksgiving, about gratitude to God? Will there come a time in our world where in order to survive, we will have to abandon our selfish ways? I can remember my parents telling stories about how they had to share food with other families because there wasn't enough to go around. Maybe some of you have had those experiences in your ancestry. You can remember, I've heard stories of family members having to donate food. When my family first came to this country in 1947, my father was brought over from Europe. The church helped them with groceries and with food and with clothes and so on. There was a sharing. There was an unselfishness. There was an attitude like, we really are a family, and we got to share. We've got to be less self-centered, less self-focused. Are you with me this morning? We're a blessed people. So often we are ungrateful. How do you know this? Well, you know this because you get frustrated over the smallest things. You know, waiting for a traffic light or somebody cutting you off or, you know, the guy in front of you who's driving too slow. My cell phone doesn't work. You know, I don't get good reception. I don't have enough bars, you know. Somebody didn't Facebook me. Somebody doesn't like me on Facebook. Come on now. You know, we get upset over the silliest things when really the important things of life are all in here. All the important issues of life are right here. Let me just give you a few statistics. This is really good for our young people, too, for all of us. I want you to say, we don't have the problems other people do. Say that with me. We don't have the problems other people do. I'll give you some statistics, okay? If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are more wealthy than 75% of the entire world population. You're in the top quarter, 25% of the world population. 1 billion people, that's almost one-sixth of the world's population, lives without adequate shelter. They live in cardboard boxes, tin roof shacks, one-room mud huts, or filthy, crowded tenements. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of intervention by the government, without harassment or the fear of being arrested or tortured, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the rest of the world who live with that fear. Public assembly. Thank God in America we have freedom of assembly. Somebody say amen. How about clean water? Almost 1 billion people in the world lack access to clean water. So every time you turn the faucet on and drink a glass of nice water, or you take a bottle of water and drink it, think about 1 billion people that can't do that. Electricity that we just take for granted. 1.6 billion, another quarter of humanity, live without electricity. And at night, there are 2 billion who have no light in their dwelling. At night, when the sun goes down, that's it. They don't even have a candle. They don't have a candle. They have no source of light. 2 billion people. According to the United Nations survey, UNICEF, 22,000 children die every day due to poverty or malnutrition. 790 million people on the earth are chronically undernourished. We need to thank God. We need to have a humble heart and say, God, what did I do to deserve this, Lord? Nothing. Nothing. It's only your mercy. It's only your goodness, Lord, that you've taken us this far. Amen? And even when people who are not Christian hear these statistics, they are moved to be thankful. Even atheists. If I read this to a group of an atheist gathering, they would all be very thankful. But how much more as believers in Jesus Christ, not only do we have these material blessings, but we have eternal life as well. We have our spiritual blessings. The Bible teaches us that thankfulness should be a lifestyle for all Christians. And as believers, again, not just the material things, I want to give you four things as I close this morning on why, as Christians, we should be thankful and humble above all the people in the whole world. Number one, we have a Father, God, who really, really cares about us personally. We don't have a God who just created the world and went away. As Brother Angel said before, he's imminent. It means he's close. Even though he's big enough to create the whole universe, he's small enough to live in my heart. Hallelujah. He is both mighty and merciful. He's powerful, but he's also compassionate. If you look at the Bible, you see the compassion of Jesus as an example of God's compassion. Jesus said, whoever wants to know the Father, let him look at me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Are you with me this morning? If you look at Christ, you understand the nature of God. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because the Lord was with him. He showed kindness to the rich young ruler, and he loved him. Even though this man was possessed by his wealth, the Bible says when he looked at that man, I think it's in Mark chapter 10, it says he loved him. Even though he was about to give him the truth, he loved him first. When Lazarus' family experienced the death of Lazarus, Jesus wept by the graveside. Are you with me this morning? When he spoke to Mary outside of the tomb on resurrection morning, he said to Mary, he said, why are you weeping, Mary? Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He put his hand on the leper. Hallelujah. He comforted those who were bereaved. He lifted up the children and he blessed them. Aren't you glad that we have that kind of Savior? Aren't you glad that we have a compassionate Savior? A good God, a caring God, one who's interested in your life. He's not just some distant, unapproachable being. What his holiness and his righteousness demands of us, his love provides for us. Wow. Wow. What his holiness and righteousness demands, his love provides for us. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many of you have ever found rest in Jesus? How many of you have been in a situation in your life where nobody else could help you? Nobody else could do what God can do. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Pastor Angela, this is her favorite verse in the Message translation. Here's what it says in the paraphrase. Are you tired, worn out, even burnt out on religion? Come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. I'll show you how to walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. He's a good Father. Say it with me. He's a good, good Father. Number two, I want to thank God this morning for the work of the Holy Spirit. What God intends for us, the transformation that he envisions for our life. That's why I tell people all the time, get a vision for your life. Get a vision for your life. Because God has a plan. The only problem is the devil also has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you don't participate by asking God and seeking after God, what is your plan? And young people, I want to stress this with you especially. What is God's vision for your future? What is his preferred dream for your life? What is God's dream for your life? God wants to write your story with you. How many of you know he is the great author and the finisher of our faith? And only with God can our life be complete. And if you're here this morning, you wonder why there's empty spaces in your life. May I suggest to you this morning that God needs to be writing your story. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The Holy Spirit makes us a new creation. The same Holy Spirit that put the seed of Jesus in the Virgin Mary puts the seed of Christ in us. How can we be born again? How can I become a new person when I'm old? It's the Holy Spirit's work. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things have become new. I have a new identity in Christ because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is transforming me day by day. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not everything that I should be. Yet how many of you can honestly say, I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago? Amen. Are you closer now? Are you a little bit more like Jesus than you were a few years ago? Congratulations. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to grow to your full potential. God, through the Holy Spirit, has put you in the body of Christ. I believe Sister Nilda mentioned she thanked God for her church family. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized when we're saved, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we are immediately born again, placed into a new family. We have been taken out of the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's Son, the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. We have a new identity. We have a new heart. We have a new future, all because of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And God is still working on me. He's not finished yet. How many of you can say, God's not finished with me yet? The Bible has this wonderful, I started studying this, if you want to do some research, look up the words, once you were, in your little online search. Okay, once you were. So here's a list of what we were, but now, because of Christ, what we are becoming. It says, once we were slaves of sin, but now I obey God's teaching. That's Romans 6. Romans 11. Once we were disobedient to God, but now I have obtained mercy. Once I was abusive and greedy, but now I've been cleansed and made holy and right with God. That's 1 Corinthians 6. Ephesians 2. Once I was spiritually dead because of my many sins, but now I've been raised up with Christ and made fully alive. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Once I was separated from Christ, excluded from the family of God. I was far away. The Bible says we were estranged. We were aliens. We were foreigners. It goes as far as saying we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. But we who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of the cross. All sin has been washed away. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God looks at me with a smile on his face. He's not frowning. He's not looking to punish me. He's not looking to beat me up because I'm his son. Hallelujah. He loves me more than I could even imagine. We've been reconciled through the blood of the cross. I have a new spiritual family, all because of the Holy Spirit. Number three, we have a refuge in the time of testing. Have you ever thought of this? Where do people who don't know God, where do they go? What do they do when they face a crisis? Have you ever thought about that? Boy, if I didn't have God in my life, what would I do? Where would I turn? To whom would I go? Remember that song, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? Remember that? Or in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy, thanksgiving, in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. My back was against the wall, but Jesus rescued me. I was running out of gas, but Jesus resupplied. Hallelujah. I didn't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit came upon me and gave me another chance. He is the rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Jesus Christ is my high priest, my intercessor, who constantly prays for the saints according to the will of God. I have the Comforter. I have the Advocate. I have the Prince of Peace. I have the Word of God. I have the blood of Christ. I have a brand new life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got everything to thank God for. Hallelujah. Even Job recognized this. In famine, he will deliver you from death. And in the battle, from the stroke of the sword, you will be protected from the lash of the tongue and need not fear when destruction comes. No matter what happens in the world, we have a refuge. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I'm confident that He's working all things. Not everything that's happening in my life is good. Some of you know we prayed 2 years ago when my daughter became pregnant. And prayed and prayed and prayed. Some of you cried with us, fasted with us, prayed with us. And we prayed specifically against birth defects. But our grandson was born with extra chromosome. It's called Down syndrome. And it's been hard. It's been difficult. We've had to spend a lot of time with her. He's had 5 massive surgeries. And one heart surgery that lasted 6 hours. I had to reconstruct the inside of his heart that was only the size of a walnut. Imagine 6 hours working on a little tiny heart. But that baby, when we see that baby, we laugh, we rejoice. We know God didn't make no mistake. Somebody say amen. That he is a treasure. We don't understand all the reasons why God said no, but we are trusting him anyway. Hallelujah. We love that baby, and when he comes here, you'll see why. He's just the happiest baby you'd ever want to see. And he's like a little rubber doll. We just want to squish him. The last one, we have a privilege of making a difference. I'm thankful because I don't just have to resign to my fate and sit around and be discouraged like the rest of the world. I can get up, and I can make a difference. Here's what Paul said. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Everybody say there's a blessing in giving. Amen. If you're discouraged, call somebody up and pray for them. Amen. If you're downcast, get out a sheet of paper and start at the top, counting my blessings. Get a journal and put all your blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Amen, 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 amen. We don't have to be part of the problem. We can be part of the solution. Think about the people in your life right now. Somebody, just one example of somebody over the years that you stretched out a hand to help somebody. You called somebody who was down. You prayed for someone. You brought some groceries, or you lent a helping hand. You gave in secret. And God is saying to you this morning, congratulations. You did it in secret, but I want to reward you openly. What you prayed, and those mothers who are here this morning who prayed for their children in the midnight hour, God sees those tears. Hallelujah. God will reward your faith. He will reward those tears. Hallelujah. Work while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. The time will come when it'll be harder than it is now. So if we're complaining now, what are we going to do when it gets worse? We need to find the joy of the Lord. And if you've been allowing the devil to steal your joy, I encourage you today, don't take it. Stand up and fight for what is yours. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Matthew 25, and I close with this. Then the king will say to those on his right, Jesus spoke these words, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Now, this is the king speaking. So this is like the disciples are scratching their head. He says, how could this person who's a king have all these needs? Hang in there. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry? When did we feed you? Jesus, you don't need anything. God, you've got everything. Or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me. Hallelujah. That person that you're helping may not look like Jesus, but they may very well be Jesus in a symbolic sense. In a symbolic sense, that person may not look like Jesus to you. As a matter of fact, they may really annoy you, but you do it because Jesus may be saying, I came to your door and you turned me away. I had no food and you didn't help me. I was sick and you didn't pray for me. We never want to hear the Lord say that, do we? It is more blessed to give than to receive. We still have the blessing to do some good. As long as you have breath. One day I woke up, I think I've told you the story before, but I think it's comical. I had a rough night. Did you ever have a rough night where you couldn't sleep, you're twisting and turning? And then to make matters worse, I had some kind of sinus thing going on, and I woke up and one eye was stuck shut. Did you ever have that gunk in your eye where, I know it's a little gross, but your eye's stuck. So I'm going to the mirror, and I could hardly walk. My back was hurting. And I got one eye, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I want to go back to bed. And the Lord said to me, stop thinking about yourself. Go out and do something for somebody. Just like that. I got a cold slap. It's like, psh. He said, stop feeling sorry for yourself. How many of you know God talks like that sometimes? Snap out of it. Go find somebody who's worse off than you and do something for them. Amen? Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let me just give you the 4 points again in case you are writing these down. Of all people, Christians are thankful because we have a Father who really cares for us. We have the Holy Spirit at work in our life. 2, a refuge in times of testing. And 3, we still have the privilege to be a blessing and do good and to make a difference in this world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We give you praise, Lord. We want to be a thankful people. Would it be too presumptuous if we were to bow our heads right now and to close our eyes? Would it be too presumptuous to say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, for the times I haven't been thankful? I'm just going to say it. And if there's anybody else who wants to say it with me, Lord, forgive me for the times I have taken things for granted, for the times I have not been appreciative, for the times I've overlooked all the blessings, and for the times I just spent so much energy on a pity party when I could have been doing some good for somebody else. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus.